Hello, everyone, and welcome to part one of a 12-part series on sales process optimization. My name is Philip Mackel. I'll be your host, and I'm honored to have you join me. And look, let's get right to it. We can all agree that new business development is the lifeblood of any viable business, especially given the 14% attrition typically attributed to professional services, all the way up to the 45% attrition experienced in the hospitality industries. And your particular industry, whatever it may be, probably falls somewhere in that spectrum. And given those attrition numbers, we can agree that new business is the lifeblood. And creating that ongoing churning kind of pipeline of developing new business is critical for a company to stay viable. And that's what makes that opening statistic I shared with you in that splash screen so critical to take note of. Gartner did some research and post-pandemic discovered that only 17% of a B2B buying time decision spectrum is spent directly with sales. And if a company is evaluating multiple vendors, guess what? That number shrinks down to 5 or 6%. So what does that mean in reverse? That means 83 to 94% of the buying decision is not influenced or directly affected by sales. And for those companies, and my goodness, I know many or most that I've worked with, put the onus on the sales team, right? For business development, for growth, for nurturing that pipeline. And if all their excellent efforts only add up to about 17% max of that buying decision, achieving double-digit growth sustainably year over year becomes more and more challenging, right? So what's happened? What's led to this? These statistics have always been in the undercurrent. It's always been the case that with the advent of the digital age, the information age, within about 10 seconds, you can look up 10 different vendors and find out 10 different sets of pricing for every one sales call that you might have in person. So there's always been that digital self-serve. But guess what? During the pandemic, companies got really, really darn good at digital self-serve. And we'll dig into those numbers a little bit later in the presentation. But that means if your focus as a company is driving sales through sales activity alone and not attending to all the other aspects we're going to take a look at very closely, yeah, you're missing out on 83 to 94%. And look, I get it. I probably had 30 plus years in the corporate world in senior sales positions. And in each of those years, 30 plus times, October, November, I would sit down with my sales team and say, listen, this is where I'm projecting you to finish this year. And based on that, I want to know what you're going to do next year. And I expect some growth out of you. So figure out what your new business pipeline looks like, how your retention numbers, what account penetration you can affect for next year, and send me your budget, right? And then we all know what happens. That budget goes from sales to management, and once management gets its hands on it, the numbers get bumped. Well, that's not good enough. 6% isn't enough. We need 12% out of this person and 15% out of that person. And then if you're not a standalone company, but part of a larger organization, once those numbers get massaged by the sales management team, then they go up to corporate and they invariably come back, as we know, even higher, right? And then the mandate goes out to sales, go make it happen. And with the flip of a calendar page from December to January, sales reps are told, make more calls, make more cold calls, do more in-person presentations, send out more emails. We're going to learn that those things all are not effective any longer post-pandemic. They were challenged pre-pandemic, but certainly now post-pandemic statistics and studies prove to us that they're not effective any longer. You know, what happens when a sales rep is given a growth plan of 20%, whatever? If they're productive enough to hit that number next year, they have to exceed that number, right? So they're actually competing against themselves. Those reps that underperform, maybe they're sent to sales training, which I advocate, encouraged to read books. Maybe they're subject to accountability meetings where every week they have to justify their existence by way of spreadsheets and activities. But again, all those things are important, and I'm not taking away from any of them. There's some phenomenal YouTube videos on sales technique, negotiation skills, but we have to realize that's only at best 17% of the B2B sales equation. And if that's all we're focused on, yeah, we're kind of tying one hand behind our back. So that's why I wanted to create this series, because the goal is that I can share concepts with you based on my 30 years in corporate, based on 2,500 plus consulting hours I've logged for national and global organizations on the topic of sales process optimization. And even, and I'm proud to say, book five, which I just published with a publisher out of the UK, on transformational sales strategies. And I hope to bring all of these things and more into this video series in a way that's impactful to you, that gets you thinking, and present some options that you can introduce to your company, really affect that change, and hopefully achieve those consistent, continual double-digit growth years. So welcome to the series and welcome to part one. My name is Philip Mack again, and I'll be your host. Hey, before it becomes painfully obvious to all of you listening, I'm just going to call it out right now. I am a movie and media buff, and movie scenes ping in my head, and you'll see them in my writing, you'll hear them in my videos. They ping in my head almost like I'm one of those movie theater popcorn machines, and I've got kernels spewing out of the machine all over the floor. And there's no more impactful scene, I think, in the world of sales. And the reason I showed that little thumbnail before this part of the video is we all know that iconic movie, Glengarry Glen Ross, and that memorable scene with Alec Baldwin at the chalkboard, scrawling out the words, always be closing, ABC, and then announcing first place winner gets the Cadillac, right? Second place winner gets the steak knives. Third place, you're fired. And you know what? That's the world of sales that I made my bones in. I started in professional sales out of college in my early 20s for Philip Morris in their food service division. And back then, it really was about one-to-one presentations, slick-talking, polished salespeople with, you know, glitzy presentations and closing techniques like the puppy dog close and if I could, would ya, and feel, felt, found. But here's the thing. We now deal with an educated, informed consumer, and those techniques no longer is nearly as effective as they used to be because people know about them, right? There's so much content online, so much information. You want to go make a sales call to somebody and use all these techniques and then leave. And you know what? Within 10 minutes of you leaving, they'll have researched 10 of your competitors and gotten 10 different prices. And what they're looking for now is someone who wants to share information, someone to help them reach clarity on whether or not the product or service is right for them, someone that understands their needs and presents well to those needs. And it is really a thought exercise that's occurring not one-to-one as it used to be, but statistically speaking, there are now as many as 8 stakeholders on average involved in a buying decision. So think about it. You've got the procurement department, you've got the operations team, you've got project managers, you've got the sales organization, you've got the CEO, on and on we could go. And these techniques of trying to close a sale and then those horrible emails that sales reps send like, hey, just checking in to see if you're ready to make a buying decision, or those voicemails, hey, if you order today, order before midnight, right? And you get 2 free Ginsu knives. Yeah, buyers are on to all of those things. So we can't do them any longer. They just simply don't work. And why it's important to talk about that is when we look at the sales tools in a salesperson's arsenal, we're going to dissect 3 of them, which are cold calls, which are cold emails, and which are in-person visits. And I'm going to show you, to statistically speaking, based on research, how and why these are no longer effective. All right, everybody, for those of you, as we talked about in the opening, for those of you, those companies that put the onus of sales growth strictly and solely on the sales department, and give them those edicts, hey, get out there and make it happen. Go out and do some more cold calls. Go out and see more clients. Go out and send more emails. You need to drive the business. Go make it happen, right? I want to share with you these following statistics that may change your perspective, and I hope they do. Starting with this, on average, B2B sales reps make between 35 and 100 cold calls a day. Yeah, maybe it ranges lower, but that's kind of the average. That's kind of the sweet spot. 97% of these calls go to voicemail, and guess what? The average response rate from a voicemail, based on Spotio's research and Service Bell's research, only about 4.8% of those voicemails get returned. So cold calling used to be an effective tool, used to be the way we set up meetings. 97% of the time it's going to voicemail, and 95.2% of the time that voicemail is not getting answered. And as a quick side note, it takes about 8 cold calls today, up from 3.6 in 2007. Post-pandemic, as I mentioned, businesses have gotten much more effective at screening out calls, and it now takes about 8 cold calls to reach a client, and 44% of all salespeople give up after only the first attempt. So tell them to make more cold calls. Is that really going to be effective? Look at the numbers. What about cold emails, reaching out to prospective new clients? 50% of all cold emails have a reply rate under 10%. The average bounce rate is 7.5, and the average click-through rate is only 3.67%. So if you're banking on cold calls and emails as your sales growth strategy, yeah, you might be in a little bit of trouble, right? Cold email click-throughs, 96 point some odd percent don't click through, just wasted effort. So that leads us to the next thing, right? Kick the sales reps out of the office and get them into the field in front of clients, seeing clients. Let's take a look at those numbers. Yeah, so we've talked about two out of the three tools in a salesperson's arsenal, cold calls, emails. Let's talk about a third, in-person visits. And before I explain these statistics in a little bit more detail, I want to share with you what the abbreviations are. So DSI, that stands for Digital Self-Serve Information, and IP stands for in-person. So McKinsey and Associates, excuse me, McKinsey and Company, was one of the studies that I cited in my book and reviewed extensively. And post-pandemic, they evaluated the change in business methodologies and business decision-making methodologies that occurred post-pandemic. And here's what they found. In a broad survey, they found that as it relates to identifying new potential suppliers for a business, 69% of all companies found digital self-service to be most effective, where 31% weighed in to say that in-person sales meetings were effective. So think about that. Almost 70% of B2B businesses surveyed prefer doing their own research digitally online. And we'll get deeper into that in some later sessions. Once they're identified, evaluating those new suppliers, that number increases. 71% of businesses surveyed found it more effective to do their own self-service digitally than to have an in-person presentation, which fell at 29%. Even once a new client has been onboarded, ordering new products and services, 80% found digital self-serve to be more effective than in-person. And then replacing reorders once a product is in the pipeline. 71% felt that digital self-serve to be more effective than in person. So, listen, I will put out the disclaimer to say These statistics may not hold true to all industries. There are some, for instance, the food service world that I came from, that's really driven by those in-person sales calls where a sales rep can sit down with the chef and share with them new products coming out, bring samples to them, things like that. But in the majority of B2B business decisions, in-person has taken a backseat significantly to digital self-serve. When you give that edict for sales growth, pushing your reps out into the field and telling them to go make in-person calls, you have to realize that it's not as effective as it once was. And some of the things we'll dig into in later presentations, as part of this 12-part series, is how to create that digital onboarding strategy that can affect and improve odds. I still want to see you have sales reps out in the field. But if we can enhance and pursue that additional, 69 to 80% that prefer that digital self-serve, if we put those two strategies together, how much more effective will your new business development be? Yep, and finally, just to put a couple more exclamation points at the end of this conversation. 76% of all businesses surveyed indicated that digital sales prospecting is either equal to at 28% or more effective than at 48% traditional in-person prospecting. 75% of businesses surveyed indicated that digital servicing of existing clients is equal to at 29% or more effective than at 46% traditional in-person client servicing. These are significant numbers. The net result is 75% of all businesses surveyed indicated digital self-service to be as effective or more effective than traditional in-person sales interactions. And that's again what we're dedicating this entire series is not just how can we tune up your sales team, and certainly we're going to get into sales techniques, strategies. In fact, in a moment, I'll share with you all the different courses that'll be a part of this series. But if you're not attentive to that digital aspect, that evolution that's occurred post-pandemic, you are fighting a battle with the hand tied behind your back. I won't try to drive that point home any further than I already have in this video. I do reserve the right to come back to it in later sessions, but again, I wanted to make sure that we had a conversation around it. So in this video, hopefully I have made the case for effective sales strategies in the digital age and laying out the argument, the statistics. Hopefully I have your attention. And the whole idea is to help you rethink, reimagine. Rather than always be closing, your sales organization should always be reimagining. And hopefully these statistics speak to the need and necessity to do so. But before we get into strategies, the next video is really dedicated into helping you understand the hurdles you may encounter. Because, again, 30 years in corporate America, 2,500 years in consulting for national and global organizations on sales process optimization, you're going to run into some challenges. The fear of messing up. Moving the cheese, right? And unless, and I'll prove this to you in our next presentation, but unless you get buy-in top down, the likelihood of success for launching more comprehensive sales onboarding processes in your company, the likelihood of success really minimizes. In fact, growth numbers are dramatically affected when you don't have the buy-in across the organization. Then we're going to start to talk about why sales, in addition to marketing, who's usually responsible for this, why salespeople have to build personas for the folks they're calling on. As I touched on a little bit ago, on average, there's eight different stakeholders in a buying decision now. And think about those stakeholders, everything from the procurement folks to the sales to the integration, project managers, CEOs. Each of them are going to have different needs and drivers. And because decisions are now a one-to-many event as opposed to a one-to-one event, unless you are speaking the language of all of those stakeholders, We know what happens, right? Ah, man, I had a great relationship with the buyer, but then it went to committee and all of a sudden I got kicked out the door. We can avoid those things. So building good sales personas become really, really super important. We're next going to get into the importance of messaging and revisiting your company mission statement, your unique value proposition, your unique sales proposition, and how those play a role in that critical 10 seconds to 2 minutes of digital self-serve investigation that clients are doing now. By the way, 63% of all businesses surveyed said that a website and the initial messaging was one of the first three things that influenced their decision. So tuning up those things become important. Once we get through those topics, we're then going to move into sales principles, foundational principles. And there's many, many experts on online, and I don't profess to be any better or worse than any of the others, but I do want to include some basic sales techniques and some philosophies and strategies that, will kind of round out our experience together. But then we're going to move into something that I think is really cool. That initial conversation drives the potential for future opportunities. And if and when you become very good at reading your prospect's personality type and adjusting your presentation to it, and there's some science behind how you can do that, you're going to be speaking the language in a way that the client best understands, and that's going to increase your likelihood. So that's an exciting topic. Equally as exciting, time to emotional connection. So I cite some studies in my book. I'll share them with you in the coming session that if you want to improve your sales revenues and retention by as high as 52%, then one of the KPIs you need to be measuring is the time to emotional connection. So many times, especially in software as service, companies measure the time to first value. And that's great. That's when your client experiences some value from the technology or the services they've adopted. But until you get to time to emotional connection, and there's some strategies to get there, you haven't really secured that client. You haven't created a raving fan instead of a buyer. So we'll talk in detail about that. We're then going to look at the entire sales onboarding process from start to finish. And what I'm going to say to you right now, I'll repeat time and time again. We no longer close sales. Instead, we help clients reach clarity on our products and services. And it's by way of an intelligent onboarding process that guides them through the thought exercise that they all go through to reach clarity on whether or not the products or services we offer can meet the needs and expectations of both the organization and their customers. So sculpting that intelligent onboarding process is super critical. And then we're going to get into the weeds a little bit. We're going to start to look at how to set up your CRM and databases, beginning with prospect typing. What is it? How does it work? How is it best structured? To give you the opportunity to look back at your systems and processes and make sure the pipeline is aggregating the right information in the right way for you. Then we'll talk in the next session about prospect ranking. We're then going to talk about the aggregation of 1% marginal gains. So once we've covered all this ground, how can you make minute improvements in each step in the process such that when you put it all together, it creates beauty and excellence? And I'll give you some examples of those things. And then finally, in the Fish Where the Fish Are series, the final video is going to be on probability weighting and getting uniform measurements to all those different milestones and increments in your business development pipeline creates not just consistency, but will help you develop a predictable revenue model. And that's the goal, is to say, going into budget this year or in future years, how can you predict and project and execute and deliver on significant sales growth? So that's what's ahead of us. I hope you're as excited as I am. I hope you'll continue to join me for each of the coming videos. As always, please click the like button if you enjoyed what we talked about today. Please subscribe, share with your friends, bring this video into your sales meetings, Show it to your CEO if you like. And above all, please stay tuned. Thank you so much for joining. We'll see you on the next episode.